It is Tuesday morning. We check in with the Bloomington City Council, and Councilman Tim Mayer makes his weekly Tuesday visit. Tim, good morning. How are you?
I am good. I am good, thank you.
That Keith Klein, he's tough to wrangle this time of year.
Yeah, he's a busy man.
Hey, how many organizations benefit from him? All of them? Does he have a contract where he must stop by and say hi to everybody?
I think so.
Wow.
What's the weather for Saturday?
Should I look that far ahead? I don't like to do that because, number one, it's I don't want to put any bad thoughts in anybody's mind. It's better than it was yesterday. Let's put it that way. 85, okay. A scattered thunderstorm, which I think that's written into the city's contract.
Yeah, that has to be one. Isn't
it? 10:30 or so that storm annually blows in. Is that concocted by you guys? Do you have a special deer commission that puts that together?
You know, the mayor always takes credit for the nice days.
He should. And yeah. Scattered thunderstorms on Saturday, scattered showers and thunderstorms developing later during the night. So 85 and 72 will be pleasant. The reason I bring that up, that forecast was 90 on Monday morning when I turned this on. So
okay.
We're going to bounce around a little bit. But let's just start right there. That's the summer's premier event. That's the place to see and be seen. And it comes up this Saturday.
That's right. And don't forget Arts on the Square.
And the Arts Fair on the Square. I believe that starts at 10 a.m.
Yeah,
and that's free to participate in. The Taste of Bloomington is 3 to 11 at the Showers Plaza. And boy, Tim, that has greatly expanded over the last 4 or 5 years.
It has, and you know, it what it does is it shortens up the farmer's market by an hour or two.
Good point. So everybody can do the line change, the switcheroo.
That's right.
And then all the restaurants, breweries, and wineries and everybody else have to get in. They have to get plugged in, and then they all have to pass health inspection before the taste goes because food safety is very important as well.
That's right. That's
now, right. We talk about the taste. It is an admission fee to get in. You may swipe your credit card to get in, but after that, I'd suggest a fistful of dollars.
Okay.
Because I don't think we're going to have 45 merchants there with credit card processing machines set up on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So let's make sure we do that. And we would like people who maybe haven't been downtown in a little bit to be aware that there is a new parking system, and it's all your fault.
That's right. That's right. Shorter hours.
Who's going to argue with that?
Yeah, we start rather than start at 8 in the morning, we start at 10, and we turn up the meters at 9, so that's a big advantage, I think, for people who like to go downtown in the morning, have breakfast, and
9 a.m. to 9 p.m. are the new hours that started yesterday, and the new signs are.
I misspoke.
That's all right.
Thank you.
I wasn't going to bring that up. I was just going to continue on down the path. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We won't tell you the old hours because that will just confuse you, but we went a 14-hour meter day to a 12-hour day, and this was brought up by the council or Mayor Cruzan or a little bit of both?
It was a little bit of both. The mayor, of course, committed to doing something within that first year that the meters were in place, and then the council basically picked it up and really... Councilman Neer did a lot of work on it. Councilman Voland did a lot of work on it. The Councilman Neer's proposal was accepted more, and more parts of that were accepted than Councilman Voland's. But, so now we have new hours and three-hour free parking will be available in all the parking garages at some point in time here pretty quickly, which is important for people who like to go downtown, maybe get lunch and don't have to feed the meter for that period of time. So.
Amen. At the 4th Street Garage, the first 3 hours are free.
That's right.
Monday through Friday, 7 a.m., that's a little bit different, to 6 p.m., and parking is free after 6 p.m. daily and all day on the weekends at the 4th Street Garage. Who's arguing with that?
That's right. And the 3 hour free parking is available in that 4th Street parking lot. Between Washington, on Washington, and 4th.
Excellent. The Morton Street Garage, the first 3 hours are free, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Morton Street Garage is going to be right next to the entrance to the Taste of Bloomington.
That will be packed.
That garage will fill up quite quickly. And the Walnut Street Garage, which we look at every morning here, is the first 3 hours are free, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 6 a.m. to noon Saturday and Sunday. So there you go. It's not all it's not all the same for everywhere, but that's how it should be, because volume does matter. And the Park mobile app is absolutely fantastic. We use it all the time, and it's very convenient. The one thing I want to remind people, Tim, is you must turn it off manually now. That's something new that's different from what it used
that's
to
right.
be. And very important, and this is for your benefit, the city of Bloomington has nothing to do with the Park Mobile app, so you cannot call Tim Mayer's office and yell at him if you have a problem with how it didn't help you out. Now, the kind folks at the city of Bloomington will be empathetic to your cause. I don't know if they will be sympathetic. There is a difference in those two words. But again, remember that it is a you app. You choose to download it. You choose to use it. You are not being forced to use it. And you must stop the time on your meter when you leave. Should I be your lawyer? Is that good?
That's exactly correct.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Now, what is the cost of re-putting these signs up? What is the cost of reconnoitering the meters? Isn't it when you bought these meters, you wanted the flexibility to be able to change these timing elements so you didn't have to put in new stuff down the road?
Well, the meters are done electronically from a central location. So that part is taken care of. But in terms of signage, I don't have an answer for you as to how much that will cost to upgrade the physical signs that appear in the parking system. So
well, and speaking of cost, we lost a couple hours here. We changed some things here. We did this, that, and the other thing. The numbers were ran. This isn't going to cost the city anything. Tell us how that works.
Well, I think we... when we adopted the new regulations, we understood that we would be losing some of the income that comes from those meters. But I think the wisdom was, or the thought was, that if it made the system work better, if people were more comfortable coming downtown, that would be an advantage that would outweigh that loss in revenue. So, and even in the mayor's proposal, he had looked at doing some reduction of hours and loss and reduction of revenue as well. So I think, I think the choices that we made were made for the benefit of the community and people using downtown over looking at just gross income.
Our guest this morning is Tim Mayer. He is the city councilman and joins us every Tuesday morning. And you have a meeting, I'm going to get this right, tomorrow night.
That is correct.
And you're busy beavers, huh?
Well, we are. We do have a regular session, which means it will be a legislative session wherein we'll make decisions. We have a report on our annual report on from our Economic Development Department on tax abatement report. Those properties that receive tax abatements have to file a report on an annual basis, and then that is communicated to the city council. It's in the Office of Economic Development Sustainability gives their report from those reports to the city council. So that's one of the first things we'll discuss tomorrow night. And then we've already discussed last week the interlocal agreement between the city, the county, and the city of Ellettsville for animal shelter operations.
Animal control.
Yeah, we talked about that. And then we will be, I don't think we talked about the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant, which is a JAG grant. It's called the JAG grant. That is an annual event wherein federal monies come to the law enforcement entities within the county. So it's a sheriff's department and the city of Bloomington police department. This year we'll be receiving money, and that money is prorated between the departments. The city of Bloomington will use that money for personal body cameras for police officers, and I believe the county sheriff's department will be using it for in-car video equipment, their share of it. And then
is that money required to use in those areas, or do the departments have the freedom to use it as they see fit?
The departments have...
Or do they have to apply to you to...
The grant comes with stipulations, and this year the stipulations were weighted towards body cameras.
Sure, I was going to say that's a very hot topic issue. I didn't know if that was required or was it highly encouraged.
Highly encouraged, I think, is a better way to put it.
Well, and again, if somebody else is going to pay for that, that's an easy choice, I think, to make.
That's right.
As well moving forward. Now, I know this isn't your purview per se, but we saw last week a meeting about the activities perhaps down on Kirkwood with some local business owners. Steve Volan, that's his district, was involved in having the meeting to get some feedback there. Where does the council, is that just a direct constituent councilman issue, or does the council have purview or is even going to look at this? Give me your thoughts on that, and I'm not holding you to any of this.
Well,
you've been in this town a long time. You've seen it grow. You've seen it shrink. You've seen it grow again. Is this something the council needs to address, or is this Councilman Voling addressing the constituents in his district?
Well, that's the first thing. That was his initiative to do that and gathered a large group of people together. A lot of people came, and obviously, and talked about that issue. The council does work on it, and the mayor's office does work on it, and one of the things that is on our agenda tomorrow night is the Jack Hopkins Social Service funding grants, which we will be allocating. I sat on that committee. We had $270,000 to allocate, and we allocated to 18 different agencies, one of them being the Bloomington Police Department, which oversees that grant for use for what we refer to as the white shirt police officers who
right.
work with people on the street. So, you know, the council does support those kinds of activities that are directly related to the subjects that were discussed in that community meeting last week. So does the city council get involved in those issues? Yes, of course we do.
But you get involved in specific issues when instructed from the top, or the council leadership says, hey, this is more than just a constituent and council person problem.
Well, there have been numerous meetings going on for the past couple of years, actually.
Oh, well, that was going to be my next point. This is an annual tradition here between June and August, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, and then that's part of the reason is the reasons are multiple fold, but at some point, I'm not sure. Is there an answer to this, Tim, in your opinion?
Well, I think we're doing what we can with the resources that we have available to us. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion going on right now about the fate of Martha's House, for example, and a group of people will be coming together next week to discuss how we go forward with that particular program.
We'll talk about the impact potentially that could have on our community.
Well, it would have great impact because I forget the number of beds. I think it's 40 beds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that neighborhood,
yes.
Give or take a couple,
so
yes.
So if you all of a sudden take that out of use and have 40 people who are now on the street, that's a great impact on the community. And we, you know, we've had this discussion on and off for a long time, but Bloomington is a big-hearted community, and we actually have the resources that many of our surrounding communities do not have.
And I'm going to ask a really dumb question because that's what I excel in on this program. Since we are the regional hub, so to speak, of the service center, these other counties can't pitch in a few bucks. They can't. How does that monetarily work, Tim?
Well,
they don't apply for Jack Hopkins grants in whatever county it is? Or tell me how that process is, because some people are wondering why they can't help with their issues, and it all happens to just find us here because we are so kind and big-hearted, and we have resources to help.
Well, there are those discussions going on as well, and the Bloomington Community Foundation is kind of spearheading a regional effort to look at that very issue. Especially in terms of housing, because that's one of the issues that brings people here, is that housing is either substandard or not available in the region around us. And so people do start coming to us again.
Yeah, we can't be left on the street corners. Well, hey, Bloomington's taking care of it. What do we have to worry about?
Well,
I don't think that's fair to our community, let alone, again, you talk about kicking the can down the street.
Well, I know, but I don't know how you go to your other counties and have that discussion.
Right. Well, I think it has to be a team effort of someone having that same passion, belief, and commitment somewhere else to say, you know, that is a problem. But again, everybody needs more money. We get that part. And it's just Bloomington shouldn't have to fit the bill for a 5-6-8 county range because we're good at what we do.
Well, that is in some regards very true, but then it's also what do you do? I mean,
right.
Where, you know, how do you solve the problem? So it
well,
is.
Well, when you make the bed that comfortable, when you put a mint on the pillow, when you have all of that, and then you wonder why you have all of that. Well, you've got all of that, and then you got all these meetings.
Well,
it's a chicken and an egg to a degree as well. I think that's accurate.
Well, I know. Well, that is true. And as I just mentioned, you know, we're looking at approving our Jack Hopkins Social Service Fund, which is, you know, taxpayer dollars
right.
that are set aside for this committee, the city council committee that makes those decisions about, you know, who do we fund and how do we fund them. And quite frankly, it's very unusual in our region that we have those dollars available for those types of activities. Many communities don't have that fund available. It's a choice that the city of Bloomington had made a number of years ago, going back actually to.
So you're grandfathered in, for lack of a better term?
No, we're not grandfathered in, and you know, I guess you could stop using that fund if you wanted to, and just.
I guess you made it sound like that Bloomington's the only place that can get this going around here. Why do I have that? Am I reading that wrong?
No, you're not reading it wrong.
Why aren't these other communities applying for this if that money's there to be used in social services?
No. What I'm saying is that Bloomington made a very conscious decision way back in Mayor Allison's administration.
Would be a priority.
To set aside money for social service activity.
Gotcha.
Okay, so it is coming from our City of Bloomington General Fund.
Gotcha. Okay. I thought this was a federal grant. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
That's a huge difference, which I wanted you to point out right now.
Yeah.
This is your tax money at work.
That's right. It's a local decision.
Gotcha. So the reason other communities wouldn't do this is because they need every tax dollar to make sure their sewer and everything else is working and all of that. Okay,
that's right.
Good job clearing that up for me because, well, I'm not the only one that's confused. After a week of TIFs, GIFs, and everything, it's hard.
There you go.
It's not easy, and I think we all deserve a break this Saturday at the Taste of Bloomington where the city collectively can blow off some steam and enjoy it. But first, your meeting is tomorrow night. What time do things
tomorrow night,
off?
7:30.
Tickets still available?
Yeah,
good seats still available. You do a little scalping down there on Morton Street to get in right before the show starts?
That's right.
There you go. Okay, so 7:30 tomorrow.
That's correct. And the public is invited as always. They're always available. There's time set aside at the beginning of the meeting for public comment, not on our agenda, so they can come forward and talk about
any of the things
any issue they
about.
Have. And then also people can stay and discuss the legislation. There's always public input available. So,
are you bringing the sleeping bag tomorrow night?
No, I think we'll just move along through it. It's not difficult work. It's just it's really annual work that we do. Everything you're looking at tomorrow night's agenda is something we do on an annual basis. So it's pretty straightforward.
Excellent. All right, and then Taste of Bloomington, 3 to 11 on Saturday. The Arts Fair on the Square is at 10 a.m. I think that goes to 6, so you get a nice crossover there. Tim, you've been to the Taste of Bloomington how many times?
About 4.
Excellent. And your best piece of advice to those going who might not have been there would be what?
I don't know.
You want me to help you with this? You want me to?
Yeah, dude.
Don't. If you're hungry at 6:30, that's not the time to go. You and 10,000 people have the exact same idea.
That's right.
This is the only food festival I will ever recommend to eat before you go, and then after a couple hours of dancing, socializing, having fun, then you'll be hungry, and hopefully it's not at a prime time where you're in line. The reason there is the line is because it's a fantastic turnout, a wonderful celebration of Bloomington.
Yeah, I have to admit, most of the times I go, it's usually volunteering to work
for
somebody. So.
Well, in return for what, Tim? In return for what? Steaming pile of gyro meat, a couple cold ones?
You're
out of the goodness of your heart.
Yeah.
Well, that's good for you. That's good for you. I'll see you in the beer tent on Saturday.
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right. See you. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, we'll talk to you next week.
Oh, good. Good to hear. And that will be our first official show of summer together.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, have a great Father's Day, too.
Thank you.